Good morning, this is Mike.
Hey Mike, is Ujwala in?
No, she actually resides in India.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my name's Nico. I'm calling with the Bank of Cardiff. I have Ujwala as the point of contact for somebody who deals with the finances of the business. Is there anybody else around that kind of makes those decisions, or is that...
I make, you know, some of the decisions since she's over there all the time. I make most of the, you know, the reasonable decisions I make here.
Okay, so what would her position be considered as then?
Well, she's president of the corporation.
President of the corporation.
We basically do two things. You know, that she buys the coffee. We import coffee from India. And
right.
She buys it and ships it here to the U.S. And I'm vice president, and I sell the coffee.
Okay. So it's a two-part system then.
Yeah. I handle the sales and, you know, the distribution side of it over here in our office, and then she runs the purchasing side, among other things that she does in India. So.
Got it. Yeah, because she's the point of contact here that I have on file, at least. I was actually following up. We mailed out a finance offer to the business a couple weeks ago, pre-approval for working capital and equipment financing. I believe it was up to $250,000, and I was circling back, seeing if she happened to come across it, but I guess not, because she's in India.
No, she would not see it. Depending on who you sent it to, she might see it at some point, but she'd just discard it.
Yeah, I could imagine so. Do you guys have any plans or projects coming up that you would need some financing for, either extra cash on hand or to bring on equipment?
Well, we're not looking for any equipment of any consequence.
So more along the lines of a capital.
Capital-wise, it's primarily in inventory, because coffee's fairly expensive, as you would imagine.
Yes. Nowadays, it has become a higher-priced commodity.
Yeah, it's actually, it's traded second only to oil, so it's, you know, it bounces around price-wise, and we have to buy in quantities, and, you know, ship it by container load in order to get, you know, to get it here. You can't very well, you know, ship it by any easy way. So it most of the time our container loads run from, the lowest side would be around $45,000 a container, up to the high side can run up to $70,000, depending on the mix of coffees that are in the actual container.
So,
now these are not roasted beans; these are green coffee beans.
Right. Yeah, I was looking at your guys' website, getting a little better acclimated to what you guys actually do.
So, you know, I mean, when I get ready to buy container loads, then, you know, we've always in the past paid for them in India with our parent company in India, which is where Ujwala is located. They would buy the coffee and ship it to us, and we'd have a payment schedule at 180 days normally. Per container load, and we paid them off most of the time. We paid them off sooner than 180 days, but
right.
Sometimes we'd ship three or four containers together, and that's got to be difficult. Now we're to a point where we would only move one container and then sell it off, and as we get half sold out, then we'd order another container and bring them in staggered. So that we didn't have to have as much storage capacity, and it gets really expensive storing.
So on your side of it, the sales side, you import everything when Ujwala sends it over to you after she makes the purchases. You import it, you unload everything, and you guys keep it in warehouses and then sell to wholesalers?
Yeah.
Who do you guys sell to? What's your main clientele?
We sell direct to the coffee roasters.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's basically it's a three stage coffee, three stages in the U.S. The importer who brings it in, and it comes in 132-pound bags, and then that coffee is those bags are sold to roasters, and most of the roasting process is a it's a very pricey thing to get into. A big roaster costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even a small roaster will take better part of $100,000 to get it going. And I'm talking about one that roasts 25 pounds at a time.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you get
Those
one
are
that
large costs, very large
Yeah,
costs.
they are. And so you have to, you know, the coffee roasters themselves have to move a lot of coffee through them. And then they sell it to the coffee shops. You know, and some of them have their own coffee shops, of course, as well as sell to coffee shops that can't afford roasters.
Right.
And the average coffee shop doesn't really want to mess with roasting. It's a complex art.
It is an art. No, that's exactly what it is. It's an art, and you know, you have to take the time to master that type of an art.
Yes. Yeah, and that's very difficult to do, you know, and most of the coffee shops just look at it and say, "Hey, I can buy from, you know, from a really good roaster who and some of the smaller roasters are just amazingly good at it."
Yeah,
there's
'cause
a huge
they can
difference.
fine tune everything. You know, when you're in large production, I could assume that mistakes are made, everything, the quality of the coffee essentially goes down because it's not there's not a lot of focus put into it, you know. They're
Well,
just mass
yeah,
producing it.
it's not as, you know, Boyd Coffee is probably the largest here on the West Coast anyway, and they're one of the largest in the nation. You know, they do a huge amount of coffee, and they have 400-600-pound roasters, roast 600 pounds at a time, and they run three of them basically every day for at least two, you know, 16-hour time frames, which means they're putting a lot of coffee out. But then they sell to anytime you go into a restaurant, you've got about an 80% chance of drinking Boyd Coffee. So, you know, and they're an old company, but they do a good job. You know, they produce a really decent coffee. Most of the problems you have in the coffee, you know, when you get into a restaurant and you get bad coffee, it's because it's been sitting on the burner for an hour.
Yeah, they destroy the quality of it.
Yeah, and that's done by the coffee, you know,
the shop itself.
The whoever the restaurant or whatever it is. So, you know, the good ones know to throw it away after it's been there for, you know, for 45 minutes or so. But the cheapies, you know, they want to save the money. They'll serve that stuff when it's been there for 2 hours and it's black and
Of course, of course. And Mike, I gotta ask, when you guys import these containers, and I know that it seems like they cost a large amount of money to import, do you guys normally, you know, kind of leverage your position, borrow money to make these to cover these costs, or do you use your own cash flow?
Well, in the past, it's all been financed by our parent company in India. And they have another business, and that they have seven manufacturing plants for fertilizer in India.
Oh, wow.
So they're really, really, really big in fertilizer, and they've done the financing in the past, but we are now moving away from that because of some of the regulations the Indian government's putting in, and the banking industry over there is getting kind of like our banking industry, really difficult to deal with.
So do you are you, I mean, are you I guess referencing like the ability to get some cash in your guys' accounts?
They're making it more difficult over there. They always financed it and then just sent the note to U.S. Bank here in the United States, and it's called a documentary collection. which would have a due date, you know, and would be for, say, $60,000 for that container load. And, you know, an inch-thick set of papers that came with it to get it through customs and all of that. And then I would sign the note that and get it to the bank that we would pay on such and such date.
So are you, so Mike, are you, like, do you have an ownership stake in KPCI?
Yeah, we, my wife and I own, some of the company, yes.
Okay.
Not the majority at all, but, you know, I suppose it's around 8% or so that we own.
So is Ujwala the one that owns the other?
Yeah, well, Ujwala and Dr. Ronaday, her father. You know, it's their corporation that owns most of the stock.
So are you, okay, originally our offer, when we had sent it to you guys, we sent it to the Hillsboro address. Is that still the same one on account? Like, are you guys registered as a business within the United States, or is it registered?
Yeah, we're an Oregon corporation.
Okay, okay. But she just, Ujwala just stays over in India. Well, she leaves the operational aspect
home,
to you.
It's her home country and her husband's home country, and they were both over here for years, like, I don't know, 10 years. They went to college here for advanced degrees, and her husband worked for Intel. He's a high-tech software engineer, and so they were here, and that's how she started the business with fertilizer, and we actually have two companies over here.
Okay.
Coffee is the one that we've concentrated on in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it seems to be doing pretty well for you guys right now.
Well, it comes and goes. We've had a terrible year last year and the year before, but that's that's just life. And you know, coffee is, it's like oil. You know, it's the Washington or the Wall Street boys can play around with it and drive the market anywhere they want to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Manipulation of the markets, right?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big, just like they do with oil. And also Brazil being the largest, by far, supplier of coffee in the world.
Yeah, and they recently had a drought, what was it, last year, which affected the prices unless you locked in with your futures contracts?
It kind of affected the pricing, but they can do that. See, they have coffee in storage. They store coffee
for years.
Or corn in huge silos. So they can manipulate the market. They can have bad year for the growers, yes. But far as the coffee market over here is concerned, no, it won't change it very much.
Yeah, I used to work at an investment firm. I did research and analysis, and I used to cover companies like Starbucks, and I learned the ins and outs of how they, I guess, hedge their risk, manipulate the markets,
sure.
and you know, control the supply and demand, essentially, of coffee within the United States, at least.
Yeah, and we looked into doing some hedging at one point in time, but the cost of hedging alone, you know, up front, was high, and when you really looked at it, you know, it just added another substantial cost to the, you know, another 4 or 5 cents a pound onto the cost of coffee, and in reality, it just didn't pencil out. So we looked into it, but never actually did it.
Right. So I gotta ask, Mike, you know, we have you already pre-approved for, like, working capital. Are you familiar with that?
Well, pre-approval just means that, you know.
Yeah, pre-approval is pre-approval.
It's just pre-approval.
Well, I mean, we actually hand-select our clients and potential clients based off, like, your past borrowing history as well as your DNB credit profile. So if you guys are, like, a credit-worthy business.
Well, yeah, I mean, I realize that when you get into actually, you know, when money's going to change hands, then it's going to be looking at everything, you know, in past history, obviously, because that common sense says that. And we, you know, our history this last couple of years is not good, which is why I, you know, I haven't really pushed hard, because we really, if we don't have the coffee here, you know, you can't really sell it. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, how were you guys' sales for the last few years? What did you guys do?
The last year and a half to two and a half years, actually.
What did you guys do in 2014?
We only did about, we did $100,000 in last year, in 2015. It was $100,000, which is, you know, half of what we want to do normally to make everything profitable is about, you know, about 200 to 220,000.
So you guys are running into the red right now.
Yeah, we are, and that's, you know, that's another reason I haven't pushed anybody for loans. You know, when you know that the numbers don't look good. When we get coffee you know, when we get a container of coffee in, which I'm going to India next, not this next week, but the week after next, I'm going to be over there for the first 9 days in the month. And when I get back, we'll have the coffee, you know, we'll have, because I'm going over there, we're doing the budget and putting everything together, and then get coffee on the way home over here. And then about the, you know, the end of November, coffee will be on the water. And by, you know, somewhere along before, about just a little before Christmas, coffee will arrive. And from that point on, you know, once I get 40, because there will be about 35 to 36,000 pounds of coffee.
Oh, man, that's a lot.
Well, yeah, it's a you can't bring it any other way. And that's a small container. That's the short containers you see out on the highway.
No way.
They're 20 feet long, yeah. But it's heavy. It's heavy stuff. You know, 285 bags, and each bag is 132 pounds. So
I completely understand that. My one of my clients actually imports olive oils. He grows it over in Greece, and then he sends it over the same way via container. Does a few containers a year, and you know, he's telling me the cost is just, it's tremendous, even for olives. It's all by...
Does he ship the olives or just the oil?
He ships both, olives and oil.
Both, okay, because the oil probably comes in bags, I would guess. Maybe they use...
He bottles them there. That's why it's a little more...
He labels them and everything over there.
Yeah, and that's why it's a little more expensive, because he's, you know, adding the weight of the glass.
Yeah, plus the packaging has to be very careful.
Yep, exactly.
So that doesn't something go wrong on the way over if they hit us?
Yeah, lose all his product. I was trying to advise him that he should probably get a distributor out here in the States to do the bottling for him, when he can just ship the oil.
Right. That would probably be and there are companies here that do nothing but packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he can control it himself if he wants to, you know, the way he is, but he can get it, he could ship it in bulk and get it actual packaged by a company that does nothing but, you
packaging.
Know, they just put it in the bottle, put the cap on, seal it, put the label on, and put it in a box and ship it to wherever. So,
yep.
That's a little better deal. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike, I want to see what we can do to help you out when the time comes, when you guys, you know, start increasing those sales and everything. Why don't I get an email from you so that at least I can be in your mind and be a resource to you when you need some extra cash on hand to cover those costs. Does that sound like a good plan here?
Sure.
What's a good email address I can reach you at, Mike?
It's M. Branham, B-R-A-N. H-A-M, Branham, at McNelf, M-I-C-N-E-L-F .com.
Okay, so that's M. Branham at M-I-C, N as in Nancy, E-L-P as in Paul .com.
No. E-L-F as in Frank.
Oh, E-L-F. Oh, well, thank God I caught that one.
That's the name of our fertilizer.
Okay.
Which is why it's the email that we've used for years. So.
Of course. Yeah, and like I said, Mike, I'd love to at least be there as a resource guys.
Send me an email. Your name again?
Nico.
N-R-M.
N as in Nancy, so I-K-O.
Okay, Nico. Okay,
yeah.
Nico, send me an email, put all your details in there, and put in there what you would want information-wise from us, because I know you're going to want to look at bank statements and things like that.
Yeah, essentially, I mean, it's like a credit application for a working capital program.
Yeah, and put all of that in there.
Okay.
And then I know that I'll be back in the middle of the month. I think we're pretty well settled in on they were going to do the tickets today, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be back in the United States on probably the 13th, the way it looks, actually, when I get here and get settled in again. So, you know, we can touch base then, and by then I'll know where we are.
Yeah, of course. And that sounds like a great plan for the both of us, okay?
Okay, good deal.
All right, Mike, look out for that email. I'll have everything in there and touch base with you, okay?
Okay, thanks,
Nico. All right, take care, of course.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye.